non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt. She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. What's up, everybody?
Amen. Welcome back to Apologia Radio.
That verse is what's up.
That verse is hard. Ivy Connerly would say, sorry about the audio issues there at the beginning. That was my fault. I will take the responsibility for that.
You can confess your sins.
So forgot to mute the live feed. so if you see us looking around, it's because I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong.
If you see us looking confused, there's a reason for it.
welcome back, though. My name is Luke DeBear. This is the third week in a row I'm hosting this.
I know, man.
I'm starting to get comfortable here.
Oh. I'm enjoying it.
Welcome back, Zach Attack. Ooh, that was good.
Yeah, good to be back, man. Good to be here always.
And he won't be stealing my hamburger today because we are not having hamburgers.
That's right. No hamburger going on today. I'm going to be terror rocking it, though.
Yeah. And back is the king
Ginger.
Of the gingers.
Back at it.
Marky Mark.
Dude, Marcus, your beard is glorious right now.
It's really getting nice, too.
Yeah, it's like enveloping your microphone.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
That's how beards are supposed to do.
Amen to that.
Your beard is good.
Amen to that. Well, hey, I want to get into this here quickly.
Yeah,
I don't have anything funny to talk about today. We have all business. We have back with us for the second week in a row our dear friend Mr. John Speed.
Hey, brother. Thank you for having me back.
And my pleasure, and we're glad to have you. And I want, before we get into the topic that's listed in the title of the show, John just got off the Skype, I guess, with one Sean Hannity.
Whoa.
Big time.
That's the big time.
I want to hear all about that. About it. Let me hear it.
It was nerve-wracking, right? I'd imagine.
Yeah. I said it was like skydiving. You know, Fox and Friends is like skydiving. This wasn't much different. It was really fast-paced. I managed to squeak in a Babies Are Murdered Here reference, an End Abortion Now reference into the website. It just seemed like his big beef is with the third trimester.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was revealing, you know, about Republican thinking. You know, the third trimester is bad. Well, it's all bad.
Yeah. Amen.
Back to conception. And I tried to make that point, and he just kept moving things on. He tries to intimidate you a little bit with the interruptions and stuff. You'll hear that. It airs at 4:30 Eastern. I just got an email from the producer here a second ago, so it'll be 4:30 Eastern. And he bought a couple of books.
awesome.
When I got
Man,
off, the
praise God for that.
Producer was like, he wants your Taylor Caldwell books. So I'm like, okay, good. That's more money.
Well, who's Taylor Caldwell? What is that? What's that?
A Southern fiction writer. He really liked, and also with a very, I think probably a Roman Catholic, actually. I'm not sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
naturally.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, that brings us into the focus of what you guys were examining in the March for Life.
Catholic,
right?
Woodstock.
How does...
Catholic Mecca.
Catholic, yeah. Mecca.
Oh, that's...
So you gotta make the journey.
The question is, why does he have the views that he does about the seriousness, yeah, of the third trimester, and where does that come from?
Right.
You know?
Well, I think the pro-life organizations have absolutely made certain kinds of abortions worse than any other abortion, or later abortions are somehow deemed worse than earlier abortions.
Right. Why, though?
Why?
Yeah. Why have they done that?
Well, I think they've done that as a way to, like, win favor with the world. I think that's a huge part of it. I think they feel like if they're outright against abortion at all, that they won't win as many points with politicians or just major news organizations in general. And so if you go to National Right to Life, you're going to see nuns in full garb. You'll see priests in full garb, people marching with, you know, crucifixes 5-10 feet high.
Like, yeah,
I mean, it is a Catholic Woodstock like that. I mean, that's just, there's tons of Catholic high schools that come and visit, and it's all rah, 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 pep rally with, like, no plan to win the game.
Right.
So it's just people saying, I love babies. Yes, I do. I love babies. How about you? I love babies. Yes, I do. It's just, like, all day.
Well, that's what I was talking about with John before the show, is, like, man, there's no strategy for victory, only a game that you continually fight, but there's no end in sight.
Right.
Ultimately, mm-hmm. There's nothing that we're getting to. And that they may say, yeah, we want to end abortion.
Yeah.
But there's no strategy.
Well, they will tell you. This is what they will tell you. They say the first thing is we have to create a culture for life.
Uh-huh.
A culture of life. Well, how do you do that? How do you create a culture of life?
Right. Well,
you educate people, right?
Well, they'll say, well, conversion.
Yeah. To what?
Right.
Yeah.
So they'll use biblical language, like the truth will set you free. And, like biblical language, anytime that's talking about the truth and being set free and conversion, it's all about just going from pro-choice to pro-life.
Right.
So there's absolutely zero.
And it's all neutrality.
It's all neutrality. There's zero regeneration that needs to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's zero gospel proclamation. In fact, the theme of this year's National Right to Life was
life.
Science is pro-life. And so
right.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's all about science.
So yeah, it was all about science. I'm working on Babies Are Murdered here too. So
yeah.
I gathered clips of, like, you know, Ben Shapiro saying, well, this is not a Christian argument. This is a scientific argument, or this is not a religious position. This is a science position. And so they're really trying to move the needle farther away from this fight being centered in a Christian worldview, when all of Scripture speaks of such fights as being a judgment on the Christian people. Mm. So all the ecumenicalism, there was a guy at the Family Research Council bragging about how he was making the Abby Johnson movie and they had atheists praying with him, and, like, and Catholics and Hindus and Buddhists and, like, all.
But how's
all,
that possible? How do atheists...
He was like, I don't know, so, you know.
I don't know.
So they're wearing this as, like, this badge of honor.
Right.
And it's not a badge of honor. It's a sign of, like, God is going to judge you for this.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, God is not happy about an ecumenical pro-life fight.
Yeah. And just like that verse that we read at the beginning, like, if you don't have your fight, not only your approach to this issue, but also your methodology centered on Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Right.
If that isn't how you approach this, and instead you're taken captive to philosophy, mm-hmm, and human wisdom and empty deceit and all of these things, these hollow worldly
pragmatisms. That's why you picked that verse before.
Right. I mean, think about it. It's
no,
not
it's
just for apologetics.
True. No, it's not.
It's not just for apologetics. It's for all of life.
Yeah. Yeah, John, what would you say, like, stood out to you at the National Right to Life?
This was the March for Life, right? in Washington,
D.C. Oh, yeah, it was the March for Life.
Yeah, you and I went to that a couple years ago, and that was a headache, too.
So we're talking about the March for Life in D.C. The National Right to Life was 2 years ago.
Was this, like, on the, like, by the Washington Monument and stuff?
Yes.
Okay, so how many people you guys think were there?
Oh, a lot.
I heard, what, like, 100,000 or something?
Well, how much did the stadium for Mass fill? Couldn't have been much more.
Probably 40,000, 50,000, or maybe, I don't know.
So they had a whole basketball stadium, the Capital One Arena, was filled for Catholic Mass before the event. So me and John are there, and we're like, man, nobody's here this year. And then they let out for Mass, and it was just...
Gotcha. Well, okay. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew exactly what we were talking about. Go ahead, John. I know Marcus asked you a question. I forgot what he asked you.
Oh, I asked you what your takeaway was from March for Life.
Yeah, my takeaway from it was, the other thing that I took from it was this thing is largely, I would guess 50 to 60% of the march is Roman Catholic high schools. It's a field trip. obviously that kind of came out in the media with that whole Make America Great Again fiasco there down the other side. You start interviewing those kids, asking them, okay, what are we going to do, to end abortion? Or can we end abortion this year? What do we do to end it? And there's nothing. The other thing.
That was really cool. Yeah, to ask really, people.
It was crazy was that they, it went right out of my head. Oh, yeah. There's something going on in the pro-life movement right now on a grassroots level, where they are bringing up a whole bunch of other side issues like global warming.
Oh, God.
And what else? Socialism. Like, if we end capitalism, we can end abortion.
Yeah, I argued with a guy that was talking about how...
You're talking about pro-life people.
Yeah, there was a pro-life guy, and he had a sign that says, end capitalism, end abortion. And so I had a discussion with him.
I'm sure you were all over that one.
Yeah, I was. The problem was there was just like so many there's Looney Tunes there, right? So you have like just really crazy, strange people. And then you have the big voices that are invited to speak there, like Shapiro, who's Jewish. Mm-hmm. And then you have Abby Johnson, who's very passionately, obsessively Roman Catholic. And she swears by her Roman Catholicism, although she will throw it away to end abortion in a heartbeat if she had that option.
Yeah, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, no, she. In a heartbeat. I mean, they're all really, we can put abortion, we can put religion aside for the sake of ending abortion. So you have like all these mixed bag religious groups there. Even Reuben Israel was there, which was weird, but but he wasn't there for the march.
No,
I'm just saying, like, that's the sort of like level of crazy you're gonna see when you go there.
Yeah.
So it's like, but then when I think John brought it up, but we would ask people, "Is 2019 the year abortion is ended in America?" And they're like, "Well, I don't know about that." And then we had this other lady come up to me. When I had the microphone, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm pro-life, but I just want to make it very clear, I'm against the death penalty too, because I'm consistently pro-life." And so I brought up like Deuteronomy 22 with her about like, what about someone who murders a child in the womb? And she's like, "Oh, you're just taking the Bible literally. You're just like," I'm like, "Well, yeah."
You mean I'm believing?
Yeah. So there's
what
no
God's there, standards of justice are.
Yeah. So there's no consistent worldview when fighting abortion, and I think in a lot of ways that's good for us. Because, the Bible says that, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
That's right. Yeah.
So I feel like if there's an opportunity here, and especially with the End Abortion Now churches, the over 300 churches that we have, if they came together under one unified confession or standing on the Word of God, if they come together and they say, "We are going to end abortion. Christ is king, and this is what's going to happen," I think all the other pro-life organizations are going to have to fall through with that, to come in line with that. And we saw that with what happened with John Speed, we saw all, like, National Right to Life,
yeah,
Family
right.
Research Council, every pro-life organization, Live Action, LifeSite News, they haven't touched Babies Are Murdered Here in 5 years. And it took 5 years and one day, yeah. and suddenly everybody's talking about what John Speed's doing. And it's because John Speed made the big move there. And that's just... That should show you how easy it is. It's not hard,
right?
You know, yeah. John didn't do anything that crazy. Yeah. You know, he didn't get in a wheelbarrow and go off of Niagara Falls with the End Abortion Now written on the barrel.
That'd be cool.
That would have been entertaining. Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Or walk a tightrope across the falls with a banner. Yeah, yeah. That'd be cool.
So it's easy. We just have to do something.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, John, you were just telling us that activist mommy, our good friend
Elizabeth Johnston,
has got something up her sleeve that's been inspired by what you did. Can you fill us in a little bit on what that is?
Yeah, she is doing. She's putting together a national day of mourning on February 23rd, suggesting that basically business owners around the country wear black that day, repent for our nation's involvement with abortion, shut down their businesses for the day, and that kind of thing. And so she's doing a rally. She's putting together a rally in Albany. Once they have the details of that together, they're going to put it up on a website. But you can go to Facebook, and if you go Day of Mourning, MOURNING, you should be able to find it.
Sweet.
Awesome,
that's
man.
Awesome, man. It's all we need is a little spark, right, to start another movement. And I just thinking here as you guys are discussing this, you know, we just saw the same type of thing in Australia. We've seen it in Ireland, right? And so the major groups in those nations, the major pro-life groups are the same ones. They're here. March for Life,
yeah,
you know, Right to Life, you know, they're all the same groups. They're just repackaged for a different culture, if you will. And, you know, we were just in Australia, which, by the way, Carmen's been working hard and he's almost done with those messages. I can't wait to see those. But,
yeah,
you know, one thing we found when we were preparing for Australia and, again, Ireland both is, like, if you go to their websites, all those major pro-life websites, they're all Catholic run and none of them even mention the gospel. And I know because I ran a search on all these sites, right, and all the searches came up zero results when you type in gospel, except there was one, I forget which site it was now for Australia, there's one and it took me to some site here in the States that was completely Catholic and you ran the gospel search on their site and it was this long speech from the Pope, from Pope John Paul, and it was all about,
of course,
you know, Mary and all this nonsense.
Yeah.
And so it's you're absolutely right. They're trying to do it from a point of neutrality where the gospel has nothing to do with this fight. And it's, you know, look where we're
and
at.
And I think that the removing God from their position, embracing an ecumenical position to the degree that they are, is essentially, like, that's worse in God's eyes than abortion.
Right.
Mm. Like, that's, you know, like, we're comparing sins here. They're not far apart.
Mm.
But God hates idolatry a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Come out from among them,
yeah,
and be ye separate.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you see entire nations that were just leveled just for that alone. Right. So it's like, well, you know, if you guys end abortion, God's still going to level our nation.
Right.
Like,
it's just the zeitgeist too. It's the spirit of the age, the pluralistic, you know, relativistic, all that. Doesn't matter how we do it. Let's just work together. And like you said, you gave the example, like, of, you know, Family Research Council, like,
yeah,
they dropped a video not too long ago. They dropped about, like, myths when it comes to abortion. Uh-huh. And one of the myths was, you need religion in
you
order
gotta
to fight
that.
It. Right.
Yeah.
And dude, like, if you think about how crazy that sounds, like, this is a myth. You need Jesus, you need religion in order to end abortion. That's the myth, is what they're saying, mm-hmm. right? But it's impossible to approach abortion.
Well, God's gonna,
from an irreligious perspective.
Well, God's gonna be like, okay, give it a shot.
Right. So do it. See how that fares for you.
It worked.
But if you ask about abortion, I mean, as soon as you start talking about it, what is it? What is a human being?
Right.
That question alone. how you answer that question is a religiously motivated question.
Right.
You have to give a religious answer because
or
it
else
assumes,
they're just stardust.
Exactly. It assumes an explanation of origin, of morality, of what we do when you take a life, what the sanction should be when you take a life. Do we call it murder? Those are all religious questions because they all assume that you have to have a worldview at the bottom in order to make definitions in the first place. So it's not like someone's going to approach it from an irreligiously neutral perspective. They're bringing their perspective into it no matter what, whether they've considered it, whether they've critically examined it. It's a religious question, and you're going to give a religious answer to it no matter what.
We were just talking about this last week, right? What's the one sign we see all the time is keep your theology off my biology.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, we need to make shirts that say your theology defines your biology.
That's right.
Right. And that's exactly what you're saying. Like, it's that's your worldview. It's going to define how you approach everything in life, including your biology.
Right. Just like the women that get abortions.
Yeah.
Okay. They have a worldview too. They've been told that their existence precedes their essence, and they've believed it. All of us have bought this lie about how we can exist but not have any value. The value is only in what we make for ourselves, right? We're the author of our own story. We're the captain of our own seas, whatever you want to say. And then we get consistent and we apply that to the child in the womb. Right? That has no value, no dignity, is worthy of no protection whatsoever because they haven't exercised their will like the mother has. So when we get consistent and we start talking about putting these philosophical principles of the world, we've adopted them through osmosis many times, haven't examined them, and then just apply that in the world, in our lives, and we get things like third trimester abortion because that child is getting in the way of that woman creating the best version of herself.
Yeah.
She's not in her mind making a choice between life and death, even though that is the choice. The choice, the pro-choice people, the choice that's being made is the choice to define yourself. And if the definition of yourself doesn't include children at this time, you have a fundamental right and an authority as a woman to kill your baby. That's what's going on.
Right.
And so as Christians, we need to be aware of the fact that this is a religiously motivated question. Just like those that champion abortion on demand, they say, I don't bring a religious perspective to this. I just bring science. Well, first of all, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Because the science demonstrates conclusively that life begins at conception. So what you've done now is back off the science into a moral argument for choice and say that it's about this nebulous concept of personhood, that somehow you can be a human non-person. Explain that one. All right, it's not possible. Because in God's view, God's worldview, the world that he made, if you're human, you have intrinsic worth, value, and dignity by nature of who and what you are. It's not something you earn at some arbitrary point in time in the future, right? When you have a heartbeat, when you can feel pain, when you've passed through the magical birth canal, right? So this is a religious issue. And if you don't accept that and embrace it up front, this is never going to end and it's never going to change. Because like you said, God's not going to honor it, first of all, and you're going to be inconsistent. So you might as well just throw God's word at your feet and stand on it.
Boom.
Well, I think we're going to end the show right there. I just, John, you've been quiet for a little bit. What are you thinking, man?
I don't know. I'm just tired.
You've been through a lot.
I'm tired. I mean, I don't know, man. It's so simple to me that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. You know, I think I told Hannity, what you've got there in the womb, at conception, you've got a human life. This isn't a giraffe and it's not a goldfish, it's a human life. And scientifically, biblically, ethically, morally, regarding our conscience, all of it, we know it. Everybody knows
right.
it. That's why it's such a key issue, I think, right now. So many women have been affected. So many men have been involved in this. It's this whole gospel issue thing that people talk about. This is a gospel issue.
Yep.
You know, we can we can proclaim the gospel in this situation and potentially end abortion proclaiming the gospel. You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to demonstrate through all this, mm-hmm. you know, Fox and Friends, especially when I was on there. You know, the gospel ties in directly to this. And if we understand it from a gospel perspective, we'll end it.
Mm. Yeah. It comes from the heart, man.
Amen, man. I think there's an important thing attached with this that we were talking this week that we really want to just harp on right now. We really want to push, and that's state sovereignty. We're going to be talking a lot about this the next couple weeks, so get ready for that. Got some potential awesome guests coming up to discuss that. But you know, we talked about it last week, and we talked about, you know, with New York, they passed that bill, and again, ultimately, I'm glad, I'm thankful that the passing of that bill is finally getting some Christians to stand up and open their mouths, right? I'm thankful for that. But ultimately, it's no different than any other abortion bills. It's the same thing. It's just they've moved the
line.
The line of death further. Ultimately, there's no difference there. But what we're talking about is just the fact that the liberals get this. They get the state sovereignty. They understand that that's how these laws changes at a state level. And you see that with New York, then it's been, what, another three, four, five states in the last week?
Yeah, dude, that's the thing. It's been how quickly this avalanche is falling now.
Yes.
It is remarkably fast.
So when we were at the Family Research Council's Pro-Life Con, as they called it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They had this lady, she was the president of Students for Life, and she's talking about the tortoise and the hare. And her example is that we are the tortoise, we will win this fight slowly, but we will win this fight. And she said that the hare is sleeping right now. The hare, we got the poles on our side. And I looked at John, this was before the New York legislation happened. I looked at John and I said, when do liberals sleep?
Like, not on abortion.
Like, they're dominionists. They're taking dominion, and we're the ones asleep.
Yeah, you're right.
And so that's their mentality. Like, they're delusional. They think that as long as they keep passing laws and bribing politicians with money, like, we're somehow going to win this fight. And that's just not the case. We're not going to win unless we come out just full out assault on this problem and ban it completely.
Right? Yeah, it's more like the liberals are the hare and we're the sleeping tortoise.
Yeah, that's exactly
not only
right.
are we a turtle, but we're asleep turtle.
Too. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, so this won't happen at a federal level. It's not going to happen if, you know, another judge dies and Trump promotes another, you know, quote unquote right wing judge. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change anything. It has to happen at the state level. That's what we've been trying to say.
Yeah, dude.
And apparently the liberals have been listening to us.
Right.
Because they got it.
And if 46 years of the same thing doesn't convince you of that, I mean, what will? How many more years will it take? How many more babies have to die?
It was a pro-life Supreme Court that got us Roe v. Wade. They voted in favor of Roe v. Wade.
They continue to have Republican-dominated Supreme Courts for the next, 20 years?
Yeah, I think Bush had a Congress and Senate on his side, and they didn't do anything. Every time, Trump had a full House and a full Senate, and he didn't do anything. And so, I mean, there's got to come a point where all the people that are supporting these organizations like National Right to Life, Family Research Council, just go, hey, wait a minute. Are you guys actually doing the best job? Because it seems to me that the liberals are doing a much better job than you guys are. The liberals are libertarian when it comes to abortion. They want to get rid of all regulation. And then the Republicans are Democrats when it comes to abortion because they want to regulate everything. And so they're fighting like libertarians for abortion. I mean, with the new law in New York, you can be a McDonald's employee and perform abortions now.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's like,
doesn't
it's completely
a physician,
deregulated. Right.
Physician, yeah.
Yeah. So it's completely deregulated. And when we've tried to make the case that we should just do an outright ban on abortion, people are like, oh, that's crazy. Like, yeah. we don't have the votes. The and, like, that'll never shoot pass. Down. Yeah. yeah. And, like, this and that. And then the liberals go, oh, hold my beer.
Yeah, right.
And then go, yeah, right. We'll yeah. show you what Seriously. We can do.
Yeah. So. Seriously. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, our system of government, too, I mean, was designed to affect change at the state level. Yeah. When federal powers abuse the power that they've been given by God, when they become tyrants and when they start doing these things, we not only have the ability, we have the responsibility and the duty in order to ignore them, defy them, and establish justice. But like we talked about last week, that'll never happen unless Christians are speaking to the political realm, yeah, in right. the realm of government,
yep.
and politicians and city councils and everything that we're trying to yeah. do to push this back in the other direction, because Christians need to be the ones instructing their magistrates on what's righteous, and that is going to require something besides natural law.
Right.
Okay? It's going to require something besides some nebulous, agreed-upon moral code that doesn't even exist anymore, first right. of all, because as the culture continues to progress into destruction, and you have things like people not even knowing what gender they identify as, yeah. how can I agree with my neighbor about abortion when he doesn't even know whether he's a man or a woman?
Yeah.
Right? So this whole idea of natural law and how that's sufficient, we all have these agreed common principles that we can all share, it's a disaster, and it's going to take actually an objective, unchanging standard that we point to and say no, rather than just relying on, well, who's got the most seats in office? Yeah. Republicans or Democrats, you know, yeah. because it's an endless shuffle. When is it going
to
end?
When we were at the March for Life, this guy told me, he's like, well, you know, we just need to get the number of votes on our side.
Yeah. And then the Democrats are going to come back and get even more.
You're right. But so I asked him, I was like, well, you know that the women, how many women got the right to vote? How many women voted for the right to vote? And he was like, he just thought about it. He was like, oh, I don't know. How many? And I was like, zero.
Think about the question.
Zero.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't need the numbers on your side. You just need to be loud.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like that's all we need to do. And we're not. Yeah. I mean, you know, what's happening in New York and Virginia, like, it's sad and people are outraged, but a week or two from now, people won't care.
They'll forget about it. You're
going to forget. People listening to this radio show are outraged right now. They're outraged, and they're just going to forget about it in a week or two.
Yeah.
They're just going to forget. And, you know, I mean, Planned Parenthood they're still selling baby parts.
Yeah. I was thinking that too.
Like you were outraged over that 2 years ago.
For like a week.
Right. Yeah. For a week.
And they're still killing over 300,000 children.
They're still killing over all those children. That, like, you guys aren't really mad. I want to see people really mad.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like the liberals. They're not afraid to hide their anger, right?
Right.
And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, people forget this. The politicians work for us.
Right.
Right? We're paying for them. And if they're not doing what they should be doing, then why are we allowing them to continue to work for us? Right? It's like, we need Christians. And it starts in the pulpit. It starts with pastors. We need Christians to stand up, hold their legislators accountable, right? And accountable to what? That's always the question.
Yeah, what standard? Yeah,
it's got to be accountable to God's objective standard. That has to be the rule. And Romans 13, everybody likes to throw around, well, you know, like, submit to your authority.
Separation of church
you know.
And state.
Like,
Romans 13.
No, read the whole chapter, right? The legislators are God's deacons. His ministers, he has placed them there to do his will, and they answer to him, and they are accountable to him and his law. And so we have to stand up. We have to be loud, like Marcus said. We have to stop being cowards, and we have to hold them accountable and to God's law. And that's where we failed. That's where the church has failed. And again, we talked about this last week. Yes, I'm going to say it. It comes back to your eschatology. Someone complained last week that that's all we talk about. It's because it matters.
Oh, no, you can see people commenting all the time. If you just go look at any major news outlet that wrote an article about the passing of the New York bill, and you will see that they have said that well, it's just going to get worse from here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen.
And yeah.
It has ramifications for what you do and how you live.
Yes, it does.
I know people in my family that have, like, when the whole SCOTUS thing happened with gay marriage and stuff, like, I had someone literally say, my bags are packed and I'm all prayed up. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, but that's why we're where we're at.
Right.
Because that's how the church has approached the culture. It's how it's approached politics. And we're just sitting back waiting.
That's the key.
For the rapture.
That's the key. It's an abandonment of the public sphere in favor of neutrality because of a desire to escape.
Yeah. Are you guys paying attention to what's happening with a early rain church
a little
in
bit,
China?
Yeah.
I mean, so if you go to the Facebook page that has the updates, I don't know what it's called, but they're playing videos of this pastor, and he's talking about, you know, if there's a gun to my head and they say you die, they say denounce Christ or I'm killing you and your entire congregation. What would you guys in my congregation have me do? Like, that's what, and he's like laughing as he's telling this, but like those guys are in a position now where they have to defy the government.
Seriously.
Yeah.
They have to defy the government. And like right now we have like a little bit of freedom left to where we can go, oh no, you know, we're arguing over like, well, this isn't that big of a deal if, you know, and this isn't, you know, we'll still use the processes that we have. And, you know, God's given us a lot of grace, but that's going to be gone.
Right.
That's because God wants a nation filled with churches like early rain. Mm. That's going to be like, hey, I'm with the pastor. If they blow off his head, blow off mine too.
Psalm 119:46. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings.
Yeah.
And shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love.
Mm. Wow.
Do you have a love?
The pro-life organizations at all.
Do you have a love for God's righteous standards?
Mm.
Do you have a love? Are they your delight? Because according to the psalmist, those testimonies, those standards, those statutes are supposed to be in the ears of those in authority. And you can't do that unless you go put it in their ears.
Yeah.
And put it in front of them.
Whew. You know, this whole discussion is, I'm just sitting here thinking it's all about fear, right? Like you're talking about early rain. I heard someone the other day talking about a woman from that church who she had made a post or something where she basically was like, get ready for church. I don't know if I should wear my church clothes or my jail clothes. And she ended up going to jail that day. And she was in, you know, at the time of this, I heard this, she'd been in jail for like 2 weeks. I don't know if she still is or not, but, you know, she was not fearful. She was brave. She was bold. All these politicians, I'll let you say it in a second. All these politicians, they operate out of fear, right? They're afraid of not being elected and they're afraid of the federal beast. Right. And us Christians, for too long have operated in fear where we're afraid to stand up for God's law. We're afraid to stand up for truth. And so we have not held them accountable. So when it comes to legislation, when it comes to things like abortion, the question is, who are the politicians fearing more? And right now the answer is that they're fearing the liberals more than they are those who stand for truth, those who stand for life.
Well, they've given early rain, the Chinese government has given early rain an option, and that option is send your elders to our school, our government sanctioned seminary, and then we'll approve them, and then we won't bother you anymore.
Wow.
Now in America, if something like that happened, there'd be people saying, oh, just do that, submit this, you know, Romans 13,
get the accreditation,
and they're saying, no, we're not going to submit and teach what the government wants us to teach. We're going to do what the Lord will have us do. Mm. And I mean, no one's heard from the pastor. I don't even know if he's still alive. So, I mean, when you look at the subject of abortion in our country, we have the same people that are just like, just do what the government wants. Like, just follow what, you know, this is just Romans 13 and Rome was an evil government too. And it's just like, we got to, at some point, we have got to just be like, no more.
Well, think about what our forebears did in the establishing of our nation. Like, how little did they put up with? And they were willing to go to war over it. And how far have we fallen, and how much we're willing to put up with.
Yeah.
And that's really, that should weigh heavy on all of our hearts for the sake of our own children and our own subsequent posterity and the generations that are going to come after us. Is what are we conditioning them to put up with?
Yeah.
How much evil are we conditioning them to tolerate?
Yeah.
Because look at how much evil our forebears tolerated. And now how far we've fallen and what we allow to go on before we actually say something.
Mm. Yeah.
How much further down the line, if we don't break the chains, if we don't stop this in its tracks, how much are we preparing our children to put up with in terms of evil in a nation?
Somebody sent me the 1779 South Carolina state constitution. And in it, it says that the state of South Carolina acknowledges that that Christianity is the religion of the state. Mm. Like it says,
but this wasn't a Christian nation.
There is one true God,
right?
And it is the Christian God, and that's in the state constitution of South Carolina. And now everyone's like, we just need to fight abortion without God. Yeah. Like, are you serious?
Right. We're so far removed from our history, man.
You said something a few minutes ago. I wanted to touch on. You said, you know, people say, well, Rome was a evil nation too, and I hope someone says that to me. We talked about this last week, because guess what? Yeah, they were. And guess what? Why were the Christians persecuted? No king but Christ.
Right.
So
Caesar is not.
Guess what?
Kurios.
They stood up against Rome. The Christians stood up against Rome and said, "No, we're not going to bow to Caesar."
Right.
And that's why they were persecuted. That's a historical fact.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Christians are not doing.
Yeah. And now they're like, we don't even need to bow at all. We could just, you know, we could just fight without God. Yeah. We'll just go to Caesar without God.
Yeah.
Right. Part of that's comfort too, I think, man. We're so comfortable with our stuff and we love the things of this world. So we're not willing to speak out because those things could be taken away from us. We love those things. Right. And the Bible says, if anyone loves the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Mm. So, ouch, right?
Yeah.
Think about the things that you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about the things that bring you entertainment and happiness and amusement, right? And then think about for a second, are you willing to give them up for righteousness and justice? Are you willing to lay them down? Because those things are nice to have, right? It's nice to have our stuff.
Yeah.
Our stuff is, it's nice. I mean, it's nice to have nice stuff, but are we willing, because of our love for the things of this world, to lay them down, take up our cross, and instead love God and love neighbor more?
Right.
To actually do something about this, if it means sacrificing our possessions, our positions, you know, everything that we have, because that could very well be where we're headed.
Mm.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Yeah. I heard John catching his breath over there, I think. You gonna say something, brother?
Yeah, I think what we really have to do is teach our churches what that church is going through, early rain covenant. In Sunday school in our church, I was been reading through, I can't remember if it was 14 resolutions or something that he wrote, a document he wrote before he was arrested, things that he said, look, I'm not going to do these things as long as God gives me grace and strength, and as long as I'm not tortured to the point where I can't think straight anymore. He says, I'm not going to deny the gospel. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to ask for a Bible. You know, I'm not going to sign any documents that incriminate anybody. Going over that stuff with our church has been pretty powerful. At this point, no way are we anything like China, but I sometimes wonder, at what point is Governor Cuomo going to sit up and take notice of what we're doing here? You know what I mean? And decide they're going to take a look at my records and see if I screwed up somewhere, paying taxes, sales tax somewhere along the way, just to try to strike back. He's probably not going to do it right now, but, down the road, if your church decided to actually make a stand, would they be ready to stand?
That's a good point.
A lot of pastors
bear the weight. Yeah.
Think that through.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Count the cost. Right? Yeah. Jesus says.
And like we were talking about last week, John, all you did was put a stupid sign in your store window.
Right? Yeah.
Not that the sign was stupid, but like it was just, it's a sign. You didn't even do that much.
It's not like
it was bold. It was brave. You were courageous, but it wasn't it didn't. It
wasn't like a revolutionary
difficult.
Thing,
right?
You know?
Yeah. You said it last week. You're like, it's not like I went and threw a bunch of tea into the bay. Like, you know, it was a sign in my window, and like something so little, and it's all that's needed to spark like outrage and anger and like a movement. And but Christians are afraid to do that. Christians are afraid to put a simple sign in their store window.
Just tell them the truth. That's it. Just tell the truth.
That's the thing. Like, if you know, I've been out to abortion clinics. I've been spit on by people. I've been, you know, have all kinds of crazy stuff happen, street preaching, all that stuff. And, you know, those things I kind of look back at. I said, well, you know, nobody was paying any attention back then.
You've done much more courageous things than post a sign in your window, right?
I took a day off.
Oh, goodness gracious. We need more courage. Christians that are listening, be bold. Be courageous.
Yeah.
Be a Gideon, right? We talk about this all the time. Gideon literally tore down the idols and the Asherah poles.
Right.
And
guess where he started? In his own backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. This fight, it just as much as it is about taking it to the culture, ungodly systems of thought, everything that props itself up in opposition to Christ, is just as much about killing the sin in your own life and killing the idolatry in your own backyard before you go out to take it on in the world.
Yeah, he was
hiding.
Because
if you don't, you're not going to be freed up to fight, and you're not going to be effective. And and trust me, okay? This is I'm saying this because of you see it in your own life when you get involved, especially with the ministry like we do, and you have sin that has not been confessed. You have sin that is secret sin that you're hiding. You're not going to be blessed in your fight as you go to battle. So you need to deal with your own idolatry first, and you need to cleanse yourself from your idols and your sin. So that way you can go be effective, because before he went and destroyed the idolatry in his land, he started wherever was closest to him, right? His own backyard, and wherever false gods and false worship was set up, that came down first in his own life. So that's what we have to do.
Yeah. And one thing I love about the story of Gideon, that's a great point. God told him to tear the idols down, and he was scared to death. And God said, don't worry, I got your back. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. And he did. And Gideon tore those idols down, and they immediately wanted to kill him. We don't even have that happening, right?
Yeah.
John didn't have someone immediately at his store the next day wanting to kill him, right? And but God protected Gideon, and we're just so fearful. We just are so scared that something's going to happen. And, you know, I was thinking too, like even David before Goliath, and John, that's what you did with your sign. Your sign was, who are you, uncircumcised Cuomo? Right.
I'm sure he would love to hear
who
that.
Are you to come against the army of the living God, right?
Right.
Like I'm not paying your stupid taxes tomorrow. Right.
And the thing is that Gideon didn't even need the numbers on his side. God said his army was too big.
Yeah.
Right.
So God cut it down for his glory.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true. He'll make sure that no one is able to boast for ending abortion.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
He'll make sure of that. And so church, that's what we need to remember. Is your army too big? Is it full of pagans?
Right.
Is it full of people with no gospel proclamation? Is it full of people with no ability to change hearts other than to throw science at people? Which is silly, because everyone knows this is a child anyways.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, we don't need these things anymore. Everybody knows.
Right.
Everybody knows. So, yeah, is your army too big?
Christian, stop lapping water up like a dog.
No,
let's do it the right way, right?
But that's, I mean, yeah, and I know we're kind of shifting gears.
Sorry, that was a theology nerd joke. I don't know how many people
caught it.
I know Marcus caught it.
that was a little grenade.
Just let it sit there for a minute.
I know we're kind of shifting gears here with this, but we're talking about the things that we're willing to give up, right? If it means speaking for righteousness. And we have so much here living in this land that we're not willing to part with. It's really just pleasures, right? It's it's so much unnecessary pleasure. But the key is, you know, and Dr. White said this once in his message that he gave at Apologia, it's not the overt massacre of Christians that has been such a hard thing for the church to handle over the centuries. It's been the slow and steady erosion by the denial of certain privileges in the lives of Christians over a long period of time that just starts to eat away at believers. In other words, the government says, we're just going to give you the bare minimum of what you need to survive. And that's going to be your existence, just eking out survival for yourself and living on, right? Not we're just going to straight up kill you. We're going to take away everything that you find enjoyable, and then you're going to live your life like that. And that's how dictators and tyrants and tyrannical governments have tried to stamp out the faith. And they've been effective in that because it's hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. If you read the book of Ezra, you have them trying to build Jerusalem within the cities of this pagan Babylonian nation. And the Babylonians go to the king and they say, if these people build this city, it'll be sedition against our country. And so it's interesting that in scripture, every time a Christian nation rose up or godly nation rose up, that the response was by the pagan governments, this is treason, this is sedition, this is rebellion. So if your religion isn't causing the kings of the earth to want to figure out how to imprison you, like you're not doing it right.
That's a great point. No, that's a great point.
Like, I mean, in Rome, you had them, like, they had to confess Caesar as Lord and they refused. That was seen as treason. They got killed. And Ezra, the same thing. And then Ezra tells them, well, how about you guys go read your history books and find out what happens to pagan nations that rebel against our city. And they go and they read the history books and the king comes back and he's like, okay, go ahead, just build your city.
I'm sorry.
And then execute anyone who doesn't want to follow your God's law. Like, that's what the king says.
Wait. A pagan king?
A pagan king.
Okay, so not a Christian king.
No, it wasn't a Christian king.
Okay, a pagan king.
It was a pagan king, Artaxerxes.
Said God's law was a good thing?
Said it's a good thing.
Wow.
Follow it. Put to death anyone that rebels against you.
Whew.
And then go bring your men who know the law, bring them to teach others in the nation to do the same. So that was an act of treason, but he submitted to it. And allowed them to build their kingdom there. So that's a long ways away from where we're at.
Yeah, no
I
doubt.
Know, man. Yep. Lord help us.
I was just thinking,
continue to raise your church up.
This even goes back to the garden, right? Did God say?
Yeah.
Like, God said, fear not. Did he say that I will be with you always? Like, you know, right?
Right. Questioning his word.
It's all idolatry. It all goes back to autonomy and not trusting God.
Yeah. Like you said, questioning his promise, questioning his certainty, right? No one's going to counsel God. No one's going to tell him how to achieve victory. No one's going to question him ultimately. And although we do not yet, as the Bible says, see all things in subjection to him, which is where the Bible says that they are, right? The Bible says that all things have been placed under Christ's feet right now. Like, not in the future. Like, this was... Right. In the first century when that was written, that all things were being made a footstool for Christ's feet. And even though we don't yet see all things in subjection to him, we see him. So Christian church, our eyes need to constantly be on the King, the Messiah King, God's Savior, God's anointed one, who had the victory at the cross and from the grave over sin and death, over Satan, all of these things that plague our nation right now.
Right.
Just remember that Jesus is reigning. He has the victory. We believe not only at the end of history, but he will have it in the here and now.
Yeah.
And so that's why we continue to be faithful, because we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And when it doesn't look like change is happening, when it doesn't look like these things are taking place in our favor, we keep our eyes on Jesus, right? And we set aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles, and we run with endurance the race that is set out for us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, thinking little of the shame that would come for laying his life down for his people. That's what Christians need to have in their forefront, thinking little of being ashamed if it means laying your life down for God and for neighbor.
Maybe that's why the early rain, they named their selves that, because Christ
early rain.
Christ had early rain in history of Christian.
I think it's R A I N, right?
I don't know.
Early rain.
Maybe. Like, I don't know. Rain. Hey, we're winding down here, but John, is your buddy over there? Can he come in and say hi to us real quick?
Yeah, let me check real quick. He's
there's a special
with my daughter,
a special guest that happened to pop in John's store right as we started. Okay, well, he gave it away.
Surprise.
Yeah, they're still on. Here you go. I'll turn this around. Hey.
Sights
hey.
In, eh?
Did you guys hear what the governor of Virginia just said? I was listening. I was driving over here, and he said something in support of post-birth abortion.
Yeah, I just read about that, too.
I'm not surprised.
Brutal, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
How's it going, brothers?
How are you, man?
Doing all right, thank you. It was quite a drive, though. It was one of the hairiest days out there. It's really windy. It's not snowing much, but the wind is blowing, so the visibility is pretty bad. But
yeah.
I made it.
How long did it take you to get there to Syracuse?
Normally, it should take about 4.5 hours, but I think it took me about 6 because of the weather. Ooh,
crazy
but,
wind chill and everything.
Oh. That stinking global warming, though, am I right?
You know, the thing is, global warming causes this, though. You know that. It doesn't matter what the weather is, it's caused by global warming.
my parents, you know, are outside of Chicago, and it's like, it's like 45 below right now with the wind chill. They're setting like record lows and temperatures and snow and all this stuff. And I'm just like, yep, good job, Al Gore. You nailed that one.
Why did I watch that documentary in college?
When it hits minus 40, it's the same Celsius and Fahrenheit. That's where they cross over. So
Canadians
and Americans can, you know, when it's at minus 40, we're all the same. Is that Marcus back there too?
It is me. That's
him.
How's it going, man?
Good. I hear you coming this way at the end of February.
Yeah, hope to see you there.
Good. I'll have to pop up again.
All right.
But I heard that John was swamped, so I thought I'd come down and help him wrap some books and help
man,
him.
Man,
oh, I can't see it. I'm Canadian.
Nice
no, I'm not doing
are.
Any of that.
What a nice guy.
Government official. No, I'm just hanging out. That's it. Chilling.
Out.
Chilling.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Well, hey, man, it's good to hear your voice and to see your face.
Yeah.
You too, brother. I'll put John back on, but yeah. Talk to you later.
All right,
talk
brother.
To you soon, man.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how many orders have you received?
Oh, well, I haven't looked recently. We're on 650.
Yeah.
And that's not 650 books, because those Glenn Beck people, man, they're crazy.
That's hilarious.
He says jump, they say how high.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic.
10, 15 books a piece. So oh, I don't
man.
Know we're going to have left here.
Who knows what Hannity's going
to
do?
They're going to sell you out, man. You're going to have to get a new business.
Yeah. Hannity plugged the site 3 times in the short period of time I was on there. So
wow.
Brilliant.
That's awesome. Hey,
johnspeedbooks.com.
Yeah. Along those lines. How many churches have signed up in the last week since John put up a stupid sign?
Dude, there's been at least 2 to 3 a day after last week. So
I say that,
and then I'm
looking.
It's like every time I check my phone, because I see the emails come through every time, you know, one signs up. Normally, they did it correctly, and yeah, every time I look, dude, I see another one pop up, and reaching out to them, get them confirmed so we can get their stuff out. We need more materials to get it out. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, praise God.
Let's keep it rolling, man.
It's going to be a good movie, guys.
Oh, yeah.
We got big year ahead of us.
Babies are still murdered here. You do not want to miss this one.
Yeah, this movie, God is telling the story right before our eyes, so it's pretty cool. Whew. Just like the first time me and John made a movie.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, hey, John, thanks for being on again, and I appreciate it. I know you're extra busy these days, so we appreciate your time.
Glad to do it, man. Love to be here.
Well, keep us updated. We'll be praying for you. If you guys that are listening or watching, you can check out John on Facebook and see what's going on with him. It's Speed, S-P-E-E-D, just like the laws that aren't biblical. Marcus, King Ginger, it's good to have you back, brother.
Yep. Thanks, man.
Zach, I'm going to miss you. He's going to be in Kauai for a few weeks next week, so... I'm not going to have you around. I'm going to miss your face.
Support our church plant and our friends out there. Yeah. So we're excited, but 3 weeks.
I know.
That's
and then
trip.
It's my turn after that. So anyways, as always, We are so incredibly grateful to all of our All Access subscribers. You literally make this possible. You literally turn on the lights for us, and we're grateful. We're
thankful. The toilet paper, which is really helpful too.
Apparently, which was hard to get this week. That's a whole nother story. But we got it. They came. We found it. They sent it to the neighbors, so we brought a toilet paper for a couple days. We tracked it down, and we found it. Good job, UPS. What can Brown do for you? You can deliver my toilet paper to my office and not the neighbors. And abortionnow.com. Go sign up. Apology All Access. Please subscribe. $9.95 a month if you have not. And be watching for Babies Are Murdered Here too.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait. It's exciting. We've got a lot of traveling to do next few months, so I'm excited.
Right on. Well, Pastor Jeff will actually be back in 2 days, Friday. So it'll be 2 days. So I'm trying to think what day it is. We actually did the show a day earlier this week. So he'll be back this week, though, and he'll be back on next week. And we're looking forward to seeing him. He's been gone a while, so we miss him.
Yeah.
Please be praying for him and his families are traveling. Please pray for our church plant in Kauai. Good things happening there as well. You'll be seeing lots of updates from that. But with that, thank you so much, everyone. We will see you next week.